This should be part three of this. Delegated authority. What did I call it? Delegated authority. And let me say up front to us Christians, everybody that's a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to hear me. If you don't understand this topic, if you don't understand this topic, please listen to me. Not only are you going to lose battles, but you will not be effective in the work of the kingdom. Let me repeat this. This authority is given not to play games. We need it. It's absolute necessity. Without it, you will lose serious battles. And I don't want to frighten anybody. You might lose your life. It's as serious as that. Because the thing we are confronting is determined to kill, destroy, and steal. And the work of the kingdom of God cannot continue unless we have the means to deal with the oppositions that of necessity must arise. And so, because the enemy has no respect for persons, he tried Jesus, our Lord, several times. The Bible says he left him for an opportune time. And because he does a lot of stuff, the Christian must not toy with this topic. It is a sacred responsibility you owe to yourself and to God. You think this is optional? Good luck to you. There are a lot of things that we talk about that people just don't pay attention. They come to Bible studies, but they don't open their ears to these things. And when the chiefs are down, when they are now confronted with situation where they will employ those things, you find them confused, not knowing what to do. And I'm not kidding you. Christians, many years. It's a sad thing. Because something that is avoidable should not be allowed to happen. So, when you come for Bible studies or come to church, you are doing yourself a world of good if you listen. My people say life is where? In the ear. And don't sit up like you know everything. I don't know everything. We need to be meek and humble for the Holy Spirit to begin to reveal things to us. Yesterday I gave a little talk that I usually would give during prayer sessions. And then somebody sent me a text. He said, Pastor, see, he said, those small things, said they're so deep that I went home to go through them and God was revealing a lot to me. Incredible stuff. And then when I came up, I said, right, is that what happened? He said, Pastor, we need to talk about this after service. I said, yeah. Because you see, the things of God is, if you take it serious, then God will open it for you. But if it is something you come for Bible, you have no interest to go back and study it again, believe you, you get nothing. And the Bible says, we should live by these things. Every word that proceeded, what? We don't have any other means of living. If you have any other means, let me know. As wonderful as prayer is, the Bible said that we shall live by every word that out of. Because without that word, you don't even know how to pray. You don't even know what you're doing. So when we come together to do Bible studies, endeavor to be there. The days in which we live are getting more evil. And it's not going to be less evil because the Bible told us so. Which means things are going to be harder and harder and harder. And so we need to be skillful now in the use of the word of God. Very skillful. Praise the Lord. So we're talking about delegated authority, part three. So, number one thing to do is to take this serious, but for us to be able to exercise successfully spiritual authority. I'm not saying you don't shout in Jesus' name. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying we don't say that. We say that several times over. But the point is, what is the result? So number one thing is to understand that you have the authority. What did I say? I didn't hear you well. The enemy will challenge you on this point to convince you you don't have it. I will relate it to your natural life, your shortcomings, and your failures, just to let you know that you are not worthy of it. And if you listen to him, you will buy into that lie. So you must know that you have it. I want you to say to yourself, I have that authority. And it doesn't require any feelings for it to work. The things of God, you don't need feelings to authenticate it. You don't need all that. You don't need I felt the anointing. Forget about feeling. You may not feel nothing. Really, don't have it. It's not required. It's not a necessity to feel anything. If in the course of things you feel anything, praise God, but it's not even a proof that God is working. Feeling is the language of your body. It's your body that's feeling all of that. It's not the language of the spirit. You don't have to feel anything. Just know that it is a fact. It's a truth. That when you exercise this authority, expect it to work for you. And so number two is, we must be grounded in the truth about why they expect it to work. It is so important that we must be grounded in the truth of why I expect this to work. And the grounds on which your authority is pegged, and this is again very important now, the grounds on which you say in Jesus' name and you exercise authority over something and you expect it to work is that the authority is not yours. The authority is the authority that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is his name that carries the authority. The authority is not in your name. Neither is it because of how good you are. Neither because of anything you are. It doesn't matter whether you are saved today or saved for 100 years. Any Christian has the right to that what? Authority. You must understand that this authority is not yours. It is Jesus' authority that is vested in his name alone. And all you need to do is to be able to have enough faith in that testimony of God, testimony of Jesus, the word of God, that tells you that this authority is in this name. And at this name, every knee bows. If you can just believe it and use it, and trust what God says, it will work for you. Amen. Amen. The authority is not in my name. It's not in your name. It's not in your goodness. It has really nothing to do. Can I illustrate this? Now, $100 bills. If I have it, I'll bring it up. $100 bills. If I give you $100 bills, you do understand that the power and ability of that $100 bill is limited to what they can purchase, right? I'm asking. It has nothing to do with you. You can go there with one leg. You can go there with four legs. It is not you that is making the thing come. It is the $100 bill. It's not you. You can go to ShopRite and introduce yourself as a senator. Nothing will happen. Like one man that was traveling to Lagos and he had over SS luggage first class. And I happened to be traveling at that time. We were in December. Well, not first class, but you know this privilege. What do they call it? Business class. And I was flying free. Somebody put me there. The fact they wanted to put me first class, I refused. So we fought over it. Finally, I settled for business. I said, I don't want this first class. It was tough money. What am I doing there? They give you wine. I don't drink wine. It's useless to me. It's totally unimportant. And when you enter turbulence, everybody's in turbulence. Whether you're first class, third class, whatever. I said, at least to honor your kid, honor what you are giving me. Can I have a business class? And I'm even better than my wife because we traveled with my wife and they took us to this clubhouse. Clubhouse? Many of you have never been there, so you don't know what it is. So they took us to a clubhouse. Again, free, and then we went with somebody. And then when we came out and the flight was canceled for a long time, we were supposed to go back. My wife refused to go back. We begged her to go back, that she refused. She said, I want to stay with those people there at the gate, first class. Outside, you know the economic people. So that's where I'm comfortable. I'm not comfortable with all this kind of things. I'm not used to that. I've not tested them. Leave me alone. I came from Ecuador, so I want to stay. Now, what I'm trying to illustrate here is this man said, I'm so. They said, sir, if you don't remove this, we'll get the cops. Push this inside. Move away. Whatever he was could not give him access to it. Because he thought this was Murtala Muhammad. And then he said something in Igbo. He said, these people know they respect somebody. he thought it was Murtala. He said, do you know I'm a senator in Nigeria? And they said, sir, step aside, sir. Could you please move aside? I'm saying I'm a senator. Move aside, sir. If you don't, we get the security. Move aside. This is overweight. Reduce it. Now, $100 bill. Let's go back there. It doesn't matter who you are, what you are. It can't get you anything beyond what $100 can do. Am I right? The name of Jesus is like that. It doesn't matter who you are. It gets you what the name of Jesus can get you. And what can it get you? Everything. You must understand it. When you go to spend $100, you don't go there and somebody say, you want to pay, present $100. And then the person at the counter said, you know the reason you can't spend this money is because you haven't had your bath. What? What gives you the thing has nothing to do with you from head to toe. It's the dollar bill that purchases it. The authority we are talking about has nothing to do with us. It is the name of Jesus that makes the thing work. As simple as ABCD. But you know, if you don't understand that, the devil will stink, will begin to talk to you about you, and he will find things to tell you about you that doesn't look like you can use that authority. But it's like going to ShopRite and then this person there is talking to you about you. And the only thing you tell him, my friend, I gave you the $100 bills. That's what pays for this thing. How many of you get what I'm saying? It's as simple as ABCD. Don't get yourself confused there. For God's sake, please. So, it is the name of Jesus. It is in the name of Jesus. It is upon Jesus Christ the Lord that the whole authority of heaven is vested. Not on you and not on me. And so the only thing we are required to do is to believe it and use it and do the work. Praise the Lord. Philippians 2:8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also had highly exalted him and given him a name, which is what? Above every other name. Does that thing have name? Yes. The name of Jesus has authority over. Again, it's like the $100 bill. When you bring it to the counter to solve a problem, it's not you. It's the name of Jesus. This must settle in our spirit. It's the name of Jesus. Can somebody say it? It's the name of Jesus. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things were in heaven and things were on earth and things were. So you say, Pastor, they dug something in our compound. Nonsense. Under the earth, the name of Jesus has authority. You don't even have to go and bring it out. Because it didn't say it has to come out for the name to have authority over it. whether it is under, on top, the name of Jesus has what? Authority over it. So all this digging over all their compound is wasted. Ignorance is a very, very humiliating thing. People that are responsible do very, very responsible stuff because they don't know anything about the Bible. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Colossians 2:9. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in human body. In human what? Body. All the fullness of God will include all the authority of God, will include all the power of God. It's vested in Him. It's vested in Christ. Verse 10 says, so you also are complete through your union with Christ. Which means you have been provided all you need to be able to pursue divine will in your life and do the work of the kingdom. You are complete. You are not saying, God, there's something remaining. Nothing. Because you have this name that can deal with anything. And so in verse 10, it says, so you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over what? Every. Some? Church, talk to me. Ruler what? Over every ruler and authority. Again, I don't know if it was Thursday or Wednesday I was mentioning this. I think it was last Thursday that I was talking about what you experienced at the park. This is a hidden girl. He said, there's something about this name. Each time I mention it, something is happening. And I will never forget, one time there was this man that had mental issues. And so they would ask us to bring him to church or to take him from. They live near us, so we'll try to bring him. But he won't enter my car. And my wife would tell him. She would say, I'm not entering that car. There is somebody in that car. She said, I won't enter there. Somebody is in that car. I'm not going in there. And you will not make him go in there. He'll be looking at you, so I'm not going to say that. Don't you see the person? What did Jesus say? I will never leave you. Or what? So that's authority. He couldn't enter. He just couldn't enter. I've had a brother that lived in Agona in Lagos. And his landlord was a native doctor again. The brother's name was Brown. Then the landlord came to him after some time and said, you need to pack out of my compound. And he said, no, because I've paid you 1 year. I haven't even lived there a long time. He said, well, I refund you. Leave. He said, I can't leave immediately. And they said, why should I leave? He said, since you came here, all the things I do, all these native things, they don't work. And no customer comes in. So you spoiled my business. And the boy said, well, now this thing is getting very interesting. I didn't even know you were a native doctor. Now you are the one to pack and leave, because I'm going nowhere. He told you, said, the earth is the loss and the fullness therein. We don't give room to the devil. Now I found out you serve your master. Pack your things and leave. Find somewhere to live. I'm staying here. I will pay you. You can find another place, but I will say you are right there. But I'm not leaving this place. And he didn't leave, and the man packed up. The man packed his things and what? Left. Preferred to, so his customers can be coming. This boy didn't even pray about this. The same thing with me in Ajegunle now. The landlord association sent somebody to kill me. I didn't even know what they were doing. I didn't know what they were doing. I mean, simply because your presence somewhere changes the atmosphere. Can I hear amen? Amen. What changed the atmosphere of this soldier in Egypt that Joseph went to his house? What was his name? What changed it? The presence of who? Joseph. Just because Joseph lived there, the Bible said everything the man did prospered. Simply because a man who had an old covenant lived in a house. Just living there. Now we are joined to Christ and we carry the Holy Spirit in us. Don't you think we should make greater difference? You are not answering me. He said, because you are joined to Christ. Because you are what? Joined to Christ. You are complete. You have it. So what else? You are. His name represents his presence. Whatever Jesus will do physically when he's there, his name will what? Now we said that God has vested all his authority in that name. God decreed it. And in Christ is the fullness of God in human form, including his authority. Now I'm telling you that his name represents his what? Presence. When you invoke his name, his presence shows up. Matthew 18:19. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. He now gave reason. For where two or three are gathered together, what? In my name, wherever they gather, exalting my name, my presence will be there. There I am in the midst of them. He's using this prayer to say, if you agree, this thing will work, because two or three, because I'm there. This agreement was done in my name. I'm there. That's what he's saying. My presence is there. You invoke my name, you invoke my presence. You must know that. Can I hear M.M. Church? So now we can, with this understanding, basic understanding, there is nothing about God or kingdom of God or Christianity that is difficult. Once it becomes complicated, it is human beings that make it complicated. There is God cannot write you a letter that he knows you can't understand. Who among us will do that? I was praying before this thing upstairs. I said, Lord, you know, I said, Lord, you need to open our eyes and then you need to teach us. He said to me, he said, you think I'll write you a letter you can't read? He said, will you do that? I said, he said, because many of them are not interested. He said, if they are interested, it is my will for them to know the things of my kingdom. But where is the interest? That's why I started to talk what I was saying before I started. He said, where is the interest? He said, they're all just nominal, ritualistic, you know, physically present, but the heart is where? Somewhere. That's what he told me. He said, you think I'll write you a letter you can't read? Who does that? He said, whoever seek it, if they're interested, I'll show them. So we can now understand these simple things. We can now proceed to use it with faith in his name only. Like we've said, it is in his name that power is vested. Now, when you want to exercise this authority, understand that there is a vehicle that conveys it. Brother Muhammad, can you come please, for a second? I want you to stand there, Brother Muhammad. You know, no matter what I have here, unless I convey it, he will not respond. Is that correct? We are standing. He doesn't know what I want. There's a vehicle that conveys it, either as an instruction or as a request, or that vehicle that conveys it is my word. Until I say something, he has nothing to respond. Am I right? He's not a clairvoyant. He doesn't read mind. If he becomes a mind reader, we'll send him out of the church. So now, if I want Muhammad to do something, I can either say, please, brother, request, right? Come on. I can say, please, my brother, that's request. What conveys the what I have in mind, that I'm making a request, is my word and the way my word sounds. So he discerns, he understands that He's requesting. He's asking me for some. In the same way, I can say, you go sit down. Is that a request? What is it? How does he know it? Okay. I can also say, ah, go sit down, Jerry. He might think it's a joke. Am I right? So he might not respond because he might think he's joking. But I might want, that might be what I mean. But my word has not conveyed the authority to him. My word said the proper things. But both my attitude, the tone, and everything does not portray what I want. Is he going to respond? Thank you. Now, I want to say this. If you are speaking to the devil or speaking to his works, understand that those things hear you. And the vehicle through which you convey this very authority that is real is your voice. If your voice does not carry and convey the authority, they will not respond. Because they are stubborn, rebellious spirits, they will not respond. Your voice must convey, your action must also what? Convey that you demand and you insist that they must respond. Because you know in whom you have believed, you know the name that you are calling, that thing works. If you don't do it like that, they will not respond. If I'm giving a command to, if I don't believe in my command, how should I expect him to believe in it? Who will be the first to believe in what he's saying? It's me. Now, this is where a lot of people fall flat. It's not calling the name of Jesus that is the issue. It's that, are you conveying authority? That's a big question. Luke chapter 4, verse 32. For they were astonished at his doctrine. Why? For his word was with what? Power. Man, they heard it, they said, wow, this thing is powerful. Because Jesus was speaking with conviction. He was sure of what he was saying. He was not whether, no, they saw certainty. They saw somebody saying something he was so sure about that this is true. And I go down to verse 33. And in the synagogue there was a man which had the spirit of an unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. 35. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace. And he didn't say the way I said it. Let's read further. Let's read. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. 36. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power, he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come. How did they see? Where did they see the authority? In his word. Remember, when he was preaching, they said, man, this word is full of power. He is saying things that there's no question of whether he knows what he's talking. It is convincing, it is powerful. Now he speaks to this spirit, and they say, whoa, this word is full of authority. This word conveys authority. And the devil's responding. When you speak, does it convey authority? Because you are not sure. Because it will be discerned easily. Very easily. Whether you are speaking because that's what they say, that's what Christians say. When they come for night vision, it's what we say. In Jesus' name, amen! You know, ritual, it's become ritualistic, it become not only, come on, formality. And then sometimes you call in Jesus' name and you are fearful. You are full of fear and anxiety. It will convey your voice, too. It will convey your voice, too. So, If you have not spoken in authority, I want you to understand that there is nothing for those things to respond to. Nothing. And that's why I'm saying you must understand and be grounded in the reason why you must expect it to what? To work. So you speak with conviction. Is anybody following me here? If you don't, you are doing yourself disservice because you'll be a victim instead of being a victor. In a situation where you should be reigning, they will reign over you. I remember how Loma told us this story, how she had this boy for a long time. How many people had that? Then one day she got angry. She got angry and used an authoritative word to convey to that thing the authority that she believed in, and the thing left. She could have done that in the first day. In fact, she could have done that in any other day. But something stirred her to anger, and she said, "Wait a minute, I will not allow this anymore." And she rose up and said, "You get out of my body in Jesus' name. I insist you go." And the thing left. It was until authority was conveyed that authority was respected. But if authority is not conveyed, there is nothing to respect. And I will advise you to get angry if you want to. Because they are messing your life up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I didn't hear you. Hallelujah. I want to hear you again. Hallelujah. You know, I had a revelation once that this spirit came to me some time ago. I don't see them much these days. But they came. And then it stood so ugly and so frightening. And they said to me, I've told you to worship me and you are not listening to me. And they said, I want you to go to somewhere where the road is junction and put this and put this and put this. He said, I'm telling you a story, but when he was talking to me, he was so forceful. He wanted to frighten me. He said, if you don't do that, I will put you in jail on so date. He said, you are doing that, you are strong head, you don't hear. So I'll teach you a lesson. And then when he said that, I got angry. Praise the Lord. Because before he came, I've been feeding on the word a lot. So I knew I had authority over him. I got really mad at him. I said, who do you think you are? So who do you think you are that talking to me like that? So the way he was looking at me too, I opened my eyes. I looked at him, eyeball to eyeball. I said, who do you think you are? Talking to who worship you? You that worship. I said, before I count three, in the name of Jesus, before I count three, get out of here. The thing, boom, left. And then the Lord spoke to me. He said, you know that the first time I never saw that. He said, you know the devil was a beautiful spirit? I said, yes. He said, I've not changed his nature. All I did was remove light in him, his darkness. But his nature I've not touched. So he changed his form to frighten people. So he came to frighten. Because fear is his open door. He said, be faith. You first him with faith and authority in my name. And he disappeared. Praise the Lord. Then another time, I had lied down to, this one happened twice. I lied down to sleep and this one walked in. When I mean walked in, I mean life. This is not dream. I'm not talking of I was dreaming. My eye, they call it open vision. My eyes were open. He came by my bed. This happened twice. Then it was so tall that I couldn't. Spiritual things you can't describe easily. You could see things that you can't see physically. So tall and massive. So he came and bent over me, bent over my bed. Exactly that place I was lying. Just bent over. And you could feel it. You could, that's like, you could know that the personality is here. Bent over me. And I said to him, I said, hey, you want to fight him? I said, no, you are just wasting your time. When you finish wasting your time, you can what? Go. And I said, you think you are a spirit? I said, I'm also a spirit. I said, he that is born of the spirit is a spirit. I said, you think you're a spirit? I'm also a spirit. And let me also give you another information. The greater one is in me right here. I said, when you finish wasting your time, you can what? I'm telling people, I have fed on the word a lot. I'll ask my wife, how bombed that I'm studying the scriptures and learning about Jesus. And then all of a sudden I said, but you know, my anger is that you even disturbing my sleep. I said, who gave you the, who, where did you get the audacity to come to disturb my sleep? I said, that's my anger right now. I said, so before I count three, in the name of Jesus, you get yourself out of here. And the thing made we and left. I said, you stop wherever you are in Jesus' name. I said, I'll punish you. You'll be doing left, right until I wake up. I didn't see him. What I was doing, I don't know. But that's what I said. And believe you me, I slept so sad. They had to wake me up in the morning. They were knocking on my door. Ba, ba, ba. It's 8 a.m. Because he gave it his beloved sleep. I took what he gave me. I rejected what the devil brought. Case closed. Now, some of us would have called pastor. I wasn't even a pastor. I didn't need a pastor because I'm joined to Christ and I'm complete. He already gave me what I needed for that moment. And all I needed to do was to employ it. How many of you get what I'm saying? Was to employ it. Praise the Lord. So our voice must convey the authority. Our actions must convey also what? The authority. Now let's go and look at Peter. Peter had boldness. Everybody say bold. The Bible said the righteous is as bold as a lion. You need to be bold. And then let me give you a prayer topic. Please ask God to give you boldness. Pray for it. You need it. Acts 3:2. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, with John said, look on us. 5. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. What was this? Money. 6. Then Peter said, sir, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. What was he talking about? He didn't have money. What did he know he had? He had authority in that name. He knew that. So you must know that. That's the beginning of this thing. You must be convinced that you have the right to use it. He said, silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, give I thee. Then he gave him what he had. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Peter demanded that he will rise up. He wasn't begging him. It was a command. It's a demand. Rise up and walk. 7. And the man rose up and walked. Verse 7, right? The man rose up immediately and walked. Is my verse 7 different for y'all? You got it. Your action must convey that you believe this thing works. So the man didn't walk, right? At this point, he didn't walk. It is not easy for a man who was born lame to just stand up. Let's be real. He was, so what he was expecting is money. And now you're telling him to rise up. First of all, he would need time to even understand what you're talking about. To him, this, I mean, if it's you, that rise up and walk will not register immediately. Because it's like, you won't even hear it. Rise up and walk. What did he say? Money is what I'm looking for. I was born like this. He has surrendered himself to that situation. But brethren, I want to tell you something. Peter was putting a demand on that sickness. He said, this man must rise up. Can I hear amen? Because something held him. Jesus came to the temple. He said, this woman that is bound, being a daughter, whom devil has bound, this 18 years, shouldn't she be free? So Peter said, well, I use this name to lose you from. Something is kept you like this. But today, you must rise up. I mean, let's analyze it a little bit. Right? How many years has this man been there? A long time. Rise up and walk. Do you know the first 3 minutes, he will not hear it. What it's like? Nobody has told him anything like this. Then, if you allow him, it will take him about 10 minutes to say, Sabe, what did you say? Did I get you right? Now, but Peter knew that he was not addressing really the man. He was dealing with something. Somebody shout hallelujah. So he said, when I speak that name, it works. So Peter went to him, grabbed him by the hand. Brethren, when you pull a man who has never walked in his hand, life up, what are you trying to say? What I told you is true. That thing works. That name works. Put him up and held him. He left him. The possibility was the man will fall. But Peter was deeply convinced that this name works. Brethren, if you the enemy might resist you, you must press your case down. Come on, you go full throttle here. You get really angry. Do whatever you need to do to prove to him that you insist that this is true. Defend your turf. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Do what? Defend your turf. Insist. Press back. Push back. Put action to it. Put praise to it. And your faith will break through. And so when Peter pulled him up, let's read verse 7, everybody. Verse 7. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Then that was when, and immediately his feet and ankle bones, but not before. At this point, we say it didn't work. You take your phone, Pastor. I think can somebody get me some cane? Pastor. You know, somebody must be telling a lie. Either Jesus told us a lie, or you are telling a lie. Jesus said, in my name, these things work. But I'm sure Jesus is not telling a lie. But who has believed? That's the problem. And that's, you want to believe these things, look, soak these things in over. You see that thing I did with that demon? If you know how much I read the Bible, studying about faith, and 3 a.m. I won't sleep. I will study and study and study and study and study, and my faith was growing and growing. And I realized the authority I had over them before they came. I had already stuffed my heart with the word. Let my word dwell richly. It had come in. But there was a time I didn't know it. They were defeating us. Everybody in my house was sick. Everybody. And then we'll be praying and buying medicines. It's good to take me. I'm not saying, but I'm just teaching you what happened to me. I'm buying all that. And then the last day, the thing that really broke it for me was my wife and I were going to get medicine as usual. And on our way back, my wife fell off, tired, exhausted, from sleepless nights, being awake, tending to her children and everything. She just slumped. That's when I said to myself, oh, really? In this house, somebody must go, and I'm not the one. So I took my wife's wrapper. I said to the devil, one of us is living here, and it's you. Praise the Lord. I took all the weapons that God gave us. I went to war, man, according to pieces with the word of God. It is written, you can't sit there and rely. You are not doing this. And then the whole thing reversed, everybody, one by one. My wife used to have cockroaches that would come by the window when she was pregnant with Onyeka. Once they come, the boy will. One of my children. And then you spray. They won't go. Then I realized that this is something again we needed to take care of. And we took care of it. What's gone? It's your duty to take care of business. Praise the Lord. And so Peter acted in boldness, and the word of the name of Jesus worked. Then Peter came to Acts chapter 3, verse 11. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this now? And why look ye so earnestly on us? Again, as though..." Church, let's read that line. "As though" what? "All we made this man..." Say, we didn't make him work. When you take your $100 to ShopRite, you don't make it work. It's $100. He has potentials to get you $100 worth of stuff. Yelling and jumping up won't increase the value. We'll reduce it. It's $100. Peter said, we didn't make him work. Just like you come out and say, "Pastor, yeah, you know, I bought something $100. I say, "Yeah." He said, "It's because of me. They gave me up to $100. No, it's not because of you. It is because federal government stamped that thing, $100. Peter said, "Why are you looking at us? This thing, we didn't buy it. We didn't make it happen. We didn't, no. We had nothing to do with it. It's not us." Brethren, I pray that God will open your eyes. That it is not you. It's not us. It's not our that we are good. It's not our power. We didn't make him to work, for God's sake. Stop looking at us. But you know, fast forward to this time. Peter has become a man of God. You know, if it's now, has become a Moji. And to see him, ha. To introduce Peter will take 30 minutes. The man that raised the lame man. You people know the story now? Yeah. The man that goes to the spirit world. Man of God. Full of anointing. Chosen by the Lord. In fact, almost died on the cross too. And he's from a... No. That's what they call the Venibo. That's he goes to the spirit world. And it will take 30 minutes to introduce him. You know, I was studying, my brother found it. I was studying. I found something amazing about Paul. I made a note on it. Paul said, he said, "I rather talk of my failure, so that nobody will exalt me above what God has done in my life." Brethren, I made a whole note on that. He said, "I rejoice in my infirmities." He said, "I would rather boast in my weaknesses instead of talking about my..." He said, "I don't want anybody to exalt me above what I am." I made a whole note on that. Then I went to scripture and I saw that that was goal in life. The same thing John the Baptist said, "I must decrease, you will increase." He said, I would rather talk of..." And he was talking about his weaknesses. When they say you can't preach, he said, "Yes, you know me, I can't." He said, "I'm among you in fear and trembling." He was being sincere. But what did you notice in his life? The grace of God was working my way. Because the way to power is through humility. It's true. So that Jesus will be exalted. Once you compete with Jesus, forget it. God will not exalt you. Can I hear him? Amen. So Peter said to them, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? And why look ye so earnestly at us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" 13. Then he explained to them what happened. "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, had glorified" who? "His son Jesus, whom you delivered and denied him in the presence of Pilate." He told them what they did. Continue to verse 14. Continue, please, quickly. "But you denied the Holy One and the just," and this, and continue to verse 15. "And killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are..." You see, he started to repeat the gospel to them. Okay, let's continue. "And his name..." Oh, church. Peter said, you want to know what made this man walk? It is his what? His name. Because vested in that name is divine authority and power. He said, and his name, through faith in his name, had made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea. Let me repeat it. The faith, which is by him, had given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now go to chapter 4, verse 10, where he was defending himself before the council. Verse 10. Be it known unto you all now, that all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of who? Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught by you builders, which is become the head of the corner. And he dropped a further bombshell on them. And all of us, we should know this. We should all know this. He says, neither is there salvation in, including you and me. We should accept it. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men. Church, that is not you. It's not your name. It's not my name. It's not you. It's not me. It's not your goodness. It's not your greatness. Your name is not part of the scheme. Forget it. If you feel disappointed, complain to God. Or you make arrangements and go to the cross like Jesus did. But you can't even endure your neighbor insulting you. How can you go to the cross? Brethren, let's just sink it in that that $100 bill you spent is not your name. It's the value of the money that you enjoy. It's the value in the name of Jesus that we simply enjoy. Is anybody following me? There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Verse 13, I want us to read 13 together. What did he say? Now, when they saw what? The devil must see your boldness. Yeah. The devil, whatever you are speaking to, mountains in your life or whatever they call them themselves, they must see your what? Boldness. That you insist and you mean what you're saying. Again, let me go back to my little girl. If she wasn't bold that day, nothing would. But she became bold and she said, I'm not calling pastor. What he has is what I have. The name of Jesus, give it to everybody. Praise the Lord. So now we understand that we need to use it. Let's also know that it is delegated authority. It is the authority that belongs to Jesus. Ephesians 1:21. Ephesians 1:21. Now, he is far above all any ruler or authority or power or dealer or everything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. Who is he talking about? Jesus. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit, So you can use that name. So you can use this authority. Everything under him so that the church will benefit from it. So you and I will use this name and benefit from it. For the benefit of the church, not the benefit of pastors. Brethren, not the benefit of men, so-called emoji. This benefit is for the church. And the church is his what? His body. Just in case you don't understand. How many of us are members of his body? Yeah, that is for us. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Ephesians 2:6. For he raised us up. He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realm. Because we are united with Christ. United. United with who? Christ. If I'm Christ. If I say fine. Because it's from Ogidi. So now, if I'm seated, where does he sit? So the Bible says we are seated together with who? Why? Because we are united. And that's why the church is called the bride of Christ. Joined like husband and wife. And that's the marriage that is everlasting. The other one we do here ain't here. The one we do here, it's okay. The one we do here, who will take this woman and this one? And the ushers are watching whether we say no, it's okay, I will take. Then we join you. This one we do here, it's not eternal. Because in heaven there's no marriage. This one we do here, the death. Do us what? So once death comes, it's over. But the one with Jesus, it's forever. Praise the Lord. The one with Jesus is what?
Forever.
Joined with him eternally. Eternal things don't end. But things that are not eternal, they end. Praise the Lord. So because we are joined with him, we are seated with him in his place of authority, far above principalities and powers. Luke 10:19. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over some of the power of the enemy. How many? Doc, how many? Did he say all? So the one your grandfather did, is it included? I'm asking. So why are you going to look for somebody to come to your village? What is it coming to? I'm asking simple questions. Don't sue me to court. I'm asking simple, common sense questions. You have $100 to buy $100 things, and $100 can buy it. You are calling somebody to bring his own $100. It's either you don't know what you are doing, or you are ignorant. And let me say something else. With due respect, God says my people are destroyed for lack of money. You are in trouble. Believe you, serious trouble already. That's why when you come for teachings like this, open your ears and hear. And when you go home, study it again, again, and again, until the thing soaks. Peter said, give heed to this thing until the daylight shines inside. Because this thing can save your life. Very critical. So behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and then nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirit are subject unto you, because the spirit will be subject unto you in his name. In Luke 10:17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Can we return with joy and give the same report to Jesus? And say, Lord, wow, even this sickness, even this circumstance, even this situation is subject to us in your great joy. Great joy. Great joy. That's why you should study these things until it soaks into you and becomes part of your belief system, things you do without thinking. Then you start working. Praise the Lord. Now, how do we use it? Understand that nothing happens until we do something. Nothing will happen. A lot of people think God is up to God. No, sir. It's up to you. If you don't do something, nothing will happen. Resist the devil, and he will what? God, come and resist. Say, no, you do the resist. What whatsoever you disallow will be what? So who disallows first? Then God will. Yeah. And once you start resisting in the name of Jesus, his presence shows up to back it up. Comes to back it up. I will start here next time, but I want to say something before that is so important. I really have to say it. Apart from the fact that the first place that you need to start in exercising spiritual authority is to know this truth and believe it, but you must understand that in all things of life, you must not be wise in your own eyes. When you face situations in your life, please don't jump into casting out devils like many people do. Don't do stuff like that. You need to look up to the Holy Spirit to guide you. Because there are many things you don't. In Proverbs 3:6, in all your ways, do what? And he will now direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Don't be, this being wise in your own eyes causes evil. Don't jump into dealing with things you don't understand. Please. Understand that you are under guidance of the Holy Spirit. Don't go before him. And say, Pastor said in his name. Yes. But let the Spirit of God. Because there are certain things that is not certain. There are certain things that is what? If I start overeating and overeating and overeating and I become mice and mice and mice and more mice. You know what mice is? I won't tell you. It is a Portuguese for big. Mice. Mice. Portuguese for big. The Portuguese word for big is mice. So we stayed with them in Newark. You didn't learn one word from them. Mice. Mice. Now let me ask you. Is it not simple common sense that all I need to do is to stop? You know, my son Ugo. God bless them both. One time he go to school and sleep and so I came in to cast out the devil. He said, Daddy, it's not Satan now. He told me, Daddy, it's not Satan. I said, forget about it. He said, Daddy, you know what it is? I said, I just caught my food. My little boy, I had come with anger to cast out and say, this spirit that makes my son sleep because my wife was pushing me. She said, your son sleeps in school. He sleeps all the time. And they were harassing me, calling me, he sleeps all the time. And I came, I said, the boy said, Daddy, stop. Nah, it's not Satan. It's not Satan. He said, no, it's not Satan, Daddy. He said, no, I said, Daddy. He said, so I take care of my weight. And he did, and everything stopped. He said, I take care of my weight. This weight issue, don't worry about it. You know, he said, Daddy, I'll take care of that. And he did. But I had come in the night, midnight prayer, to deal with every demon. Please, let's not do foolish things. They won't bring results. I'm telling you, Christianity is an ordered thing. The steps of a good man is ordered by the Lord. Go to God and say, Lord, this thing that is happening, I really don't, I think is Satan. It's really Satan. And if it is Satan, how do you want to deal with it? That's what I ask God. Lord, how do you show me what you want? Jesus said, my Father showed me what he does. He never said what I, he said what he does. He said, and the Son follows like that. See, because he loves me, he shows me what he does. What he does. What he does. Come on, church. What he does. Father, show me how you want to handle this so that I will just flow. The steps of a good man must be ordered by the Lord. Don't jump into things out of presumption because somebody told you a story. If people come and give you, say they are somewhere to go and pray, why don't you go to God and say, Lord, should I really go there? And until you hear from him, don't take any action. Because if you go on your own, you might lose your life there. So when things happen, look up to God instantly. Sometimes he will give you instant instruction. And number two, take a scripture and meditate on it day to build your faith against that. You might presume you have faith for it. You may not. The heart of man is deceitful. You might think you have faith because you've been talking about faith. If you have faith talking, why is everything not working? No. Go pick a scripture and build up your faith again. I had one of my children was sick. I've told you this story. And I went to the Lord. I picked up one scripture by the stripes of Jesus who were healed. I studied it alone for 3 days. I didn't read any other part of the Bible. Brethren, if my enemy is here, that's where I wait for him. If I don't stand here, if I'm studying scriptures on the second coming of Christ, even though he will come, But what I'm dealing with right now is a sickness. It's common sense. Common sense thing. You don't have to, you don't need a pastor to tell you that. That your issue is faith to be healed. It's not faith to make money, because you have to be alive first to make money. So I took that scripture 3 days non-stop. I meditated on it on my knees, standing up. And the third day, God spoke to me. He said, you know what that thing is? I said, yes, Lord. He said, you got to take care of it. That was all. Because now I've heard from God, faith came. Somebody shout hallelujah. Because faith cometh from Rhema. Rhema, God has to speak. Faith must come from Rhema. Faith doesn't come from Logos. Until you get Rhema. So once God says, go and deal with it. My father has sent me now. And I called the boy. I said, when I pray now, what you have said, that I'll be healed. We didn't finish worshiping God. The thing stopped. That's how faith works. Amen? So you must learn to take a scripture study. Go to God and say, Lord, this thing happening in my life. Give me direction. How do you want to deal with this thing? It's not glorifying you. It's making me sad. I'm not happy. Lord, you know it. Why are you hiding? He knows it. Lord, I'm not happy about this. It's not bringing you glory either. So, and you have the solution. Is it really Satan? And you know, sometimes you need to know the type of spirit that's operating. And if you don't, God has a lot of things to show you. The thing that opened the door, he will show you. So that when you cast it out, you close the door. Because if you don't close the door, guess what? Finally, do you want me to, I want to read one scripture to you. Can I have 5 minutes? Ah, not everybody's saying yes, so I'm done. Acts 16:16. I've gone beyond. And Acts 16:16, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God. Could show us the way. Was it correct? Yeah, but it's confusing. It wants to confuse people. Verse 18 is where I'm going. And this did she, how many days? And yet Paul did nothing. Paul didn't jump in and say, hey, this woman, demonic spirit. Paul kept quiet for many days. Praise the Lord. Then, and this he did many days, but Paul being grieved, the anointing of God came on him and stirred him to anger. You know, when Jesus went to the temple, the Bible said the zeal of God performed that. God was angry about that. So he was stirred. Paul being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out when? That's him out. Then when the master saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and threw them into the marketplace unto the rulers. Paul didn't say anything for many days. He knew better. I know that I have to be led of the Spirit. Don't be hasty in doing things. Not only demons. Don't be hasty in doing things. You will save your life that way. Because sometimes when you're in a haste, you make many mistakes. And when you come to pick it up, you might have lost a lot. It's always good to look before you leap. Bring money. We are bringing people from somewhere. My brethren, thank you. Let me go and pray and hear from God. I'm in talking terms with God. And God says, that thing they are doing, better not do it, period. I don't call them and say, God told me not to do it. Oh, no, you have to use wisdom. I will teach you that. Praise the Lord. Shall we rise up?
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.